Should pornography be legal in the United States? And the Good Place star brags about her abortion on Instagram. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's show, we have a number of stories that are quite interesting. And I also was looking up a testimony of somebody coming out of the thralls of pornography. But the first thing I wanted to talk about, guys, is I hope you, as a Bloodbought believer, like handing out tracts. And we have a tract that's available on goodfight.org, and I wanted to tell you guys about it. It's called The Story of the Candy Cane. Okay, and what we've been doing, we did with our youth group just last week. We had everyone over, and we were hole punching and tying a ribbon with a candy cane on top of the card. Tony did a great job with the artwork, and I have to say, the guy who wrote it did a great job. That was me, it's a little track, and I was going to read it for you guys, and hopefully you guys can like it, and it actually is a good conversation starter. Hopefully, it's not too long of a read. Most of our tracks are open up in pamphlet form, and you usually need at least 20 minutes to read. This one's really quick, so I'll read it to you. It says, "Ever wondered where the candy cane came from? While there are many legends and myths about the candy cane's origin, one particular tale brings us back to Cologne, Germany in the year 1670. It was there that a choir master at a church was attempting to curb the noise brought about by the children during the extra-long nativity services and thought that some hard candy might do the trick. But with eating candy during services being frowned upon, the choir master needed a clever way to convince the pastor to let them give out some long-lasting, tasty muzzles. How did he do it? He hoped that if he could make the candy have a scriptural message, he might be able to convince the pastor to let the kids eat the candy during service. So he asked a local candy maker to make a white, shepherd hook-shaped candy mixed with red. The white would represent the perfect sinless life that Jesus lived. The red would represent the blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. The shepherd hook would represent the fact that if you place your trust in Jesus, he will become the shepherd of your life. He presented the idea to the pastor, and he went for it. This is what really matters. While the story may not be confirmed when it comes to the origin of the candy cane, we can confirm through eyewitness testimony that Jesus did live a sinless, perfect life, and he died on a cross, and that he rose again, appearing to over 500 different people. The Bible tells us that he died on the cross to pay for the sins that you and I have committed against God. While we were yet criminals, God paid our fine by the blood of his only Son. If we repent from our sinful ways, place our trust in him, and love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, he will be the shepherd that leads us beside still waters. If we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will feel no evil, for he is with us and will comfort us. If you don't know Jesus, place your trust in him right now. Know that he loves you so much that he laid down his life for you. This is why God became a man and came to earth, and this is why we can truly have a Merry Christmas." So guys, it's a great conversation starter, and I know for me, those are all the topics that I really like discussing, if I can, when it comes to repentance, when it comes to laying your life down for Christ, when it comes to him being the shepherd of your life. And guys, it talks about the resurrection, so if you want to go there and talk about some great evidence for the resurrection, I think it's a cool little track. So you guys can get those on our website on goodfight.org, and I'm sure Tony will put up a link on the page for the show. So guys, I am really excited about that. I'm excited about handing out tracts, but I will say that these next two topics, both of them really, really frustrate me for a number of reasons, but the one had to do with a woman by the name of Jamila Jamil. Okay, I hope I'm saying that right, but She's a British actress and radio presenter, a model, and a writer. She began her career on T4, where she hosted a podcast. She became a radio host on The Official Chart and was a co-host of The Official Chart Update alongside Scott Mills on BBC Radio. When she was in America, I think she thought she had breast cancer and was getting looked at in America because we have better healthcare system over here right now. But she was over here and she actually got cast on NBC's fantasy show The Good Place. By the way, that show is completely demonic, but that's for another show. She's modeled in British, American Vogue, Glamour, Cosmo, all this stuff. And she also has written for Huffington Post, a beacon of nonsense. But she is really big on body neutrality. Okay, and body images. And guys, don't think that she's in a vacuum. She actually, it's BuzzFeed did an article that said Taylor Swift. Yeah, all you Swifties, Taylor Swift said that she reads Jamila Jamil's quotes whenever she feels bad about her body. Okay. And the reason why so much controversy happened was because of her Twitter and Instagram and her bragging. And this is the idea that's gone out for a number of years now, this idea of shouting your abortion and talking about how great it was and what it did for your life. And this was one of her arguments that she used for her abortion that she had. She said, quote, the choice, in a picture of herself spreading her legs, she said, the choice is the landlord's, not the tenant's, nor the neighbor's. Your uterus, your choice. And then to her statement on that picture, she said, no ifs, no buts, no guilt. Don't let anybody make you feel bad for doing what is best for your physical and mental health or your life. Yeah, guys, I actually have a landlord. And if she didn't want me to live there, I certainly hope she doesn't kill me. Okay, this is one of the dumbest arguments I've heard for abortion, but it's received thousands, according to her, thousands of people telling her how great she is. In fact, some limp-wristed man named James Blake said, can I retweet this more than once? Restricting rights to abortion is the first tactic of any fascist. See Hitler's rise to power. A woman's ability to realize their life's potential is seen as a luxury by many, but it should be seen as a basic right as it is for men. Yeah, it should be looked at as a basic right that you can murder the baby in your womb. A woman's ability to realize life's potential? What about the life's potential of the baby you just murdered? What was the potential there? What right did that baby have? You killed it. You murdered it. And this is what she said. She said, I didn't expect to receive so much love for that tweet. And anyone who feels uncomfortable with the fact that I shouted out what my abortion allowed me personally to go on to achieve, I believe it's important for brown girls to see brown girls win big and be unashamedly proud. Yeah, because, you know, Margaret Sanger, that's what she wanted. No, what she wanted was to kill off black people. She wanted to kill off women of color, and she wanted to do it via abortion. And the most devastatingly, I mean, heartbreaking thing is that it's actually achieved a lot of its goals. Look at where the Planned Parenthoods are placed. They're placed in places of poverty, okay? And they are literally coming after trying to kill black babies. That was literally the point. That is what Margaret Sanger wanted to do. There's a resource that I'd love for you guys to check out. It's called The Dark Secrets of Planned Parenthood. It's from Good Fight Ministries. And I'll have Tony put the link there as well. Please, if you don't know the wickedness behind that racist, disgusting woman that Satan used to murder people, murder millions now, help after Roe v. Wade and everything, guys, I'd love for you to check that out because it's radical. It's radical. You guys could see it. And this is one of the things. People responding, obviously, and especially those who believe that the baby has a right to live and that you don't have a right to murder that baby. And she said, I wouldn't have been a life like mine. I would have been a kid born to a speaking of the kid, sorry, wouldn't have been a life like mine. Would have been a kid born to a mother who didn't want it, who was mentally unstable and financially unstable and in the wrong relationship. I thrive because of my brilliant decisions. And she literally bragged, guys. She literally bragged about how she's a millionaire now because she was able to kill this baby. Guys, how much more disgusting does that get? And Satan, he has, you know, different ways of doing his tactics, but they've been the same. That's the same thing that they offered up to Moloch when they were killing their babies in the Old Testament, when God said that they were innocent. Those babies were innocent blood. Actually, it says in Jeremiah 19:4 and in 19:5, it says it would never enter the heart, the mind of God, that they would do some wicked thing, like put their babies through the fire like they did to Moloch. And that's exactly what they were doing. They were sacrificing these babies at the altar of financial gain. The same thing that's going on now. Oh, it'd be much better, you know, if I just kill this baby. And it's so funny, the guy literally does that to Hitler. He says Hitler would have stopped women from having abortions, right? Hitler was putting and murdering babies that are murdering humans, especially humans that had Down syndrome. And guess what's happening today, guys? In some countries like Iceland, it is 100% rate that if they find that if your baby has Down syndrome, it gets killed in the womb. That baby is killed in the womb at 100% rate. I believe Denmark's pretty close to that as well. And I believe the United States is around 63% of Down syndrome babies. When somebody finds out in that womb that there's a Down syndrome baby, that they murder that baby. Guys, how heartbreaking and disgusting are we as a nation? I mean, honestly, guys, God does not mince words about this. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, we get the things that the Lord specifically wants you to know that he hates, that he abhors, that are an abomination. And in verse 17, one of the things he lists is hands that shed innocent blood. He hates it. Guys, he hates it. And that those babies' blood are screaming from the grave. And we look at these things and think about Proverbs 1. Think about what she's doing. Go back to Proverbs 1. In the very beginning, but in verse 9, it talks about the instruction of the father and wearing the instruction of the mother, not forsaking the mother's teaching, wearing it as a graceful wreath. And this is one of the things that they warn about. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood. I'm sorry, but you need to make sure your kids are not hanging out with people that are okay with murdering babies. I will have no fellowship with that darkness. I'm sorry. If you believe it is okay to murder babies in the womb, you are not my brother or sister in Christ. Okay? You are not. If you think it's okay to rip them limb from limb in their mother's womb, you do not have Christ living inside of you. And if you're not warning your children to stay away from this, stay away from these people, you're the part of the problem. Scripture says very clearly, stay away from them. Do not walk in those who are hasten to shed innocent blood. That's exactly what she's doing. Yes, kill your baby, shout your abortion, brag about it, because then you'll have more money and be a millionaire like me. You'll get on TV shows and Taylor Swift will read your quotes about my body positivity. Guys, this is pathetic. This is disgusting. They're talking about murdering babies and making it a trivial thing. Why are we need to be crying out for this. We need to be praying and pray for these women that are so deluded, that don't have their mind renewed. It is so heartbreaking to think about. And I praise God. I'm sorry, I just did a teaching the other night on the age of accountability. And one of the verses that came up was that verse in Jeremiah 19:4, speaking of their innocent blood, and that Hebrew word, I believe it's Yachish or something around that area. I'm not very good at language, foreign languages, but I believe that word also has to do with in the court of law. And those babies' blood was innocent. When David's own child died after his own sin and God took that child from him, he was confident that he was going to go be with that child. And notice the reaction that was different from when Saul died, from when his baby died. When Saul died, he wept and he mourned and he writhed in pain because he knew exactly what happened to Saul, who killed himself. It was kind of a dual thing where it says that Saul died for consulting a medium, but he also, you know, killed himself. And when you look at those things and you see him writhing in pain, but then he's begging God, fasting, please God, spare my baby. And then when the baby's taken, he says, I know that I will go and be with him. I know that one day I will go and be with him. And he was exactly right. The Bible is very clear. Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them from coming to me, as Jesus said, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to kids such as these. So guys, it's one of those things that's on my mind. I know those babies are in the arms of God, but these mothers and you cowardly fathers or cowards who got women pregnant and then ran away, I'm sorry, there's blood on your hands, and I pray for repentance. And for those women who have committed abortion, guess what, guys? The fact is that Jesus died for that sin too. As much as I hate it and we should stand up against it, the fact is that Jesus died for that sin too. And those people need repentance. The women that get abortions, even the wicked abortion doctors. This is why Paul was very clear when it came to him, why God saved him. He said, so that everyone would know that anyone could be saved. Okay, because he was the chief of sinners. And I think we need to hold fast to that. I think that's something we should hold fast to. And something I will switch over to, but I believe is a direct link, okay, is a direct link to this abortion rate, okay? Because it has to do with how you view and how you see women and how you see them as tools to be played with and used, how you view women, not as this precious jewel that God talks about in his word. Viewing women properly in a biblical fashion, how they're supposed to be viewed in God's eyes as a fellow heir, if they're a blood-bought believer, to everything we have in Christ, as in Christ, neither male nor female, is when we look at women, we see them for who they are, that God made them. They are image bearers of God. And guess what? That Jesus died for them, how they should be viewed. And yet because of things like pornography, they are not viewed that way. They're viewed as property, okay? They're viewed very, it's heartbreaking because they're toys for a lot of men. And guys, a lot of it has to do with the use of pornography. From a practical sense, as a father, it's something that I've thought about a lot since my wife gave birth to our little, she's 8 weeks old now, our fourth little baby. Something I pray about a lot is their future spouse. Before they were born, I obviously prayed for their future spouse and they would love the Lord. And something I think about a lot is what that future spouse will look like. And, you know, I sat down, you know, with my wife and I'm like, I'm sure your parents weren't expecting you to, you know, marry an ex-atheist, a serial, you know, fornicator, you know, fighter, drunkard who came to Christ. But, you know, praise God that, you know, Lord worked that out. And I said, one thing that we're going to have to think about, and guys, this comes from counseling younger guys that deal with pornography addiction. And I said, one thing you're going to have to think about is we're going to probably, our daughters are probably going to have to deal with young men and probably marry young men that had pornography issues at some point in their life, because it is so prevalent now. It's so out there. It's on everything now, guys. We can't be ignorant of this. It is everywhere. People posting their own personal videos all the time, and it's heartbreaking. And I wrote an article, and it's really important to me. I've written a number of articles for Good Fight, but for me, this is the most important article that I personally wrote, and that it's called Pornography Through the Lenses of Scripture. And guys, this is something that I really want you guys to check out if you haven't already. It's not that long of an article, okay, but I believe it packs a nice punch for the short article that it is. And I want to talk about this issue because it's something that I wish it wasn't, but it's something that is so prevalent in the church as well. So it's something that we need to do some house cleaning as well. But the reason why it came up is because some legislation that came up, they're trying to get AG Barr to check it out, the Attorney General to look at and try to outlaw some of the pornography that's going on, hardcore pornography that's going on. And it's created a debate, sadly, because how is this a debate in the conservative realm? I mean, I'm not surprised, because most people that say they're conservative, not most, I want to say most, but a lot of people that say the conservatives are really libertarians, okay? They want to have their cake and eat it too. It's not actually, the Conservative Party has switched so much. We talked about it in the last episode. In the last 10 years, I don't even know what on earth has happened, but it's something I was looking at, and the different things on Twitter that people were saying. And there was a lot of debates this week from different conservative parties concerning pornography. And some people saying, yeah, we need to outlaw it. This is wicked. This is ruining our society. We got to get rid of this. And others coming out and saying, no, never. In fact, a young man by the name of C.J. Pearson, he calls himself the left's youngest nightmare. Okay. And the pinned tweet that he has on top of his Twitter is, I will never apologize for the principles I hold. So what does he think about pornography? He said, quote, if you don't like porn, don't watch it. Conservatives believe in limited government. At least we're supposed to. Let parents do their job. Well, if you don't like orgies in the street, don't get involved in them and don't watch them. No, that's not how this works. Guys, do you realize that this is true? This is something that happens on Twitter. Let's say right now is the trading deadline for baseball. And if I go and type in Dodgers, you know, and a player that I want them to pick up, I don't know, Madison Bumgarner or something, guess what? There are people that are pushing pornography that are doing. They take things that are popular and trending and they put it within the contents of their pornography. So that when you go and search and press send to search the Dodgers and see who's coming up on a trade, guess what? You'll see Dodger news, but guess what else will come up? People that add the word Dodgers at the bottom of a porno flick on your Twitter page. Guys, it is everywhere. It's the billboards. It's on TV. It is every place. And this is ruining marriages and society. This is ruining our society. And we're looking at it. We're watching this. The website Fight the New Drug, guys, is very popular and telling people this is what it does to your brain. There is something that makes it so addictive. They are slaves to it. And that's exactly what 2 Peter says would happen with any sensual desires and lust, okay? That in fact, that's enticing people that escaped, okay? And it's talking about being chained to this. And that is exactly what happened. You are promised freedom. Oh, we'll have freedom. We'll be libertarian. Oh, it doesn't bother me. But your kids are watching it. Their friends are watching it. You know why I am really strict when it comes to sleepovers with my kids, okay? I am very strict. In fact, my son has only been to one sleepover, and that was with his best friend, who happens to be very, very close, and also his cousin, okay, and very close, and we're all blood-bought believers and good friends. And even then, I told the mom, I told my wife, to let her know, I'm still nervous about this stuff, because that's typically where young kids will see their first view of pornography. And it's the cell phones, guys. And their friends know how to get around the different safeguards that parents may put up. And guys, it used to be a lot more difficult for kids to get involved in looking at this stuff. They would literally have to, somebody would bring a Playboy and leave it in the bathroom at the boys, the boys' locker room or something, or they'd have to steal it from their dad's stash or whatever it was. Nowadays, guys, the stash is on every kid's phone, and it's not even, they're coming after you. And this is the problem, is that we don't recognize it's a spiritual issue. We forget that Satan is trying to ruin their sexuality. Okay. He is trying to break up families. What so quickly breaks up families? Pornography. Pornography breaks up families. Lust breaks up families. It ruins them. It even has the husband not looking at his wife the way he should. It's a breaking up of the family. Satanist Aleister Crowley wrote a poem, Family, Public Enemy Number One. Satan is coming after the family. Jesus wasn't lying when he said, if you look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Do you recognize that? He didn't mean it. He meant it. He wasn't being facetious. He was telling the truth. You've already committed adultery in your heart. We have a new covenant written on our hearts. God is after our hearts. And when we put that wickedness before our eyes, guys, don't tell me you want to look at if you're here listening to this show, okay? Don't tell me that you go and look at a porn and you want to go afterwards and share the gospel with someone. Don't tell me after looking at porn, you want to go and read your Bible. Don't tell me that you want to pray. Every man that does that looks at porn, and guess what? They're like the little child, okay? They're like the little child when my son does something wrong and he's got chocolate on his face and he doesn't want to admit it. He's running away from me. He doesn't want me to find him, right? Just like Adam and Eve in the garden, hiding from God. That's exactly what happens with pornography. And guys, I think I forget where I saw this. I believe it was Apologetics 3:15, but it said pornography is all anticipation and no satisfaction. And that's what it is. It's all anticipatory. There's no satisfaction in it. God has given us the bylaws exactly what it's supposed to look like. Sex was a gift from God. And when he gave it, guys, he gave it as a gift to be done in the way that he says it works best, and that is within the confines of marriage. The marriage bed is undefiled, and you guys are going, looking at your phone and defiling it. You're defiling yourself is what you're doing. You can't defile the marriage bed. You're defiling yourself over and over again. And what happens is your heart grows far and far away from the Lord. And it's how Satan will get you. That's the foothold he will hold over you. Guys, Jesus gave these warnings very clearly. When we think about this verse, I'd like you to think about this. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your whole eye, your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus also said, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out, throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown in hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of your parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. You know, I know this ministry, it was called Covenant Eyes, and it came up on an ad on my Facebook page. And they have software that helps you to stay away from pornography. And they had a video of former NBA star, all-star Lamar Odom. He played on the Lakers, and then he was in the news. He married one of the Kardashians, Khloe, I believe, and his life really went amok. I mean, he got traded, lost his mind, really. Next thing you know, he's in Pahrump, Nevada at a whorehouse, and he overdoses on drugs, and then they saved his life. And he recently made a profession of faith. I actually don't know where his salvation is. I know he said he quit everything except for smoking weed. Not a good sign there, but nonetheless, I wanted to play a short clip because, guys, think about this. This is a man who married a Kardashian. This is a man who could have any woman he wanted, but listen to the chains that he had, even when it came to getting fined by the NBA, which is a lot of money. Check this out.
You know, in the NBA, if you're late, you know, they just fine you. And I think about all the times that I was in my hotel room, game day, and I had to get one more last scene in.
You guys see that? He can have women all the time he wants, right? And he's going to get fined thousands of dollars, but he had to get one more scene in because guess what? He's chained. He's locked up. And here's something else he had to say about getting away from it.
Me trying to live my best life, that means, you know, giving up porn to do it, then I'm going for it.
Well, hopefully his best life is with Jesus. And I hope that eventually justification happens and hopefully sanctification will happen in his life. And something I want to point to, and this is at the end of the article, and I'm going to read this. I'm going to finish you guys off with this because I wanted his words to hopefully resonate with you guys, because your best life should be the one you have with Jesus. And the best life is the life to come. Okay. We're not Joel Osteen here. If your best life now, if you're having it now, then you're not going to heaven. Right. But I want to end you guys with the end of this article, because it's something that I've thought about this a lot, especially, and I've shared this a lot with guys that are struggling with this issue. It says, it talks about the battle that we have. It's a war. Okay. This is a war that we have that people are battling. And then in Exodus chapter 17, we read of the battle of Amalek and Israel. Not only did Moses raise his arms to heaven, but his brothers came to his aid when he didn't have the strength to hold them up himself. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. This is where the body of Christ needs to step up. We need to hold our brothers' arms up when they are lacking in strength. We need to make sure we hold each other accountable. If you're struggling with sin, find a brother that you can confide in and ask him to pray for you. As God puts it, therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Remember, don't let Google know more about your struggles than a brother in the Lord. Pray without ceasing. Do not simply pray that God will get you through the struggle. Pray until God gets you through the struggle and lean on your brothers. Carry one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. This has been Chad Davidson, and this is the 511.